Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor BJ Stockstill now.
What do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? I mean, real quick, when you think about Thanksgiving, what is it you think of? Turkey, food, football, a long weekend. Maybe you think of Black Friday. Maybe you think of family. Maybe you think of the history of Thanksgiving. I don't know. Probably the majority of us think about food when we think about Thanksgiving. But, you know, Thanksgiving is so much more than just those things. And I know I'm probably talking to a bunch of people tonight who know that, but it's so much more than any of that. It's not just a day about food and football and family. It's not just a holiday that happens every fourth Thursday in November. See, Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. And I didn't really know this until I started studying. It doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate anybody's birthday. I mean, I knew that part, but I hadn't put it together that this is the only holiday that doesn't do this. But it's simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. And that's the whole point of Thanksgiving. And really, for God's people, every day ought to be Thanksgiving. I mean, we shouldn't have to have a day set aside for that. But I'm thrilled that we do for the world who is lost and doesn't know Jesus. I'm thrilled that we have a holiday that's for that. But did you know that in 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation? And he said that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Did you know that? I think it's awesome that we have a president in our past who that was his mindset. And that was the whole point of Thanksgiving. He made it a national holiday for that reason. He recommended and assigned Thursday, the 26th day of November in 1789, to be a day of Thanksgiving. Now, there wasn't in the beginning, he said that that was the day, but it wasn't always honored like he wanted it to be, and eventually it was set up that the last Thursday of November would be Thanksgiving, and then FDR changed it to the third, and then it changed back to the fourth, and so now we have the fourth Thursday of November is celebrated as Thanksgiving. And you know, most of us know the story of the Pilgrims and how they came and had Thanksgiving with the Indians of the area, and we all know it from grade school, the cornucopias, and I always remember coloring the things with the Indians and the Thanksgiving, and that's kind of where my mind goes with that. But that was in 1621, way before President Washington's proclamation. You know, even earlier than 1621, we find people offering up thanks to God, and we see that in the Old Testament a lot. So, and I want to look tonight at Psalm 100. Many of you probably have this memorized. You probably know this psalm. But in Psalm 100, it's even called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. I mean, that's the subtitle, the head title of it, that it's a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And so what it is, it's an invitation to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. Now, obviously, this calls us and shows us how to honor God with thanksgiving and thankfulness, but it kind of tells us the nature of thanksgiving as well, and so that's what I want to look at. So let's read Psalm 100, and I'm going to read it from the New King James. It's probably what a lot of you haven't memorized in, but it says this, Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Now, I love that here at CMA, our kindergartners, this is one of the scriptures that they memorize. And by the end of their kindergarten year, they recite Psalm 100. And I think they also recite Psalm 92 or so. I don't remember which one it is. Which one is it? I have it written down. Anyway, they recite these things and they memorize them at an early age. And I think it's awesome that they do that. But in here, I think there are five words. There are five things that we can pull out that describe how to give thanks. So that's what we want to look at tonight. The first word that we can pull out of this is the word joy. Joy. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all of you lands. And that's verse 1. Now, you know, we don't have a problem shouting at football games. We don't have a problem shouting at volleyball games or basketball games or wrestling matches. Yeah, we don't have problems doing things like that outside of the church. And I find, and I'm glad it's not a problem here, and just tonight I heard several people shout while we were in worship. And I think it's awesome that we've taught on this enough to know that there is a shout to the Lord that should be given. It's what Psalm 100 talks about here. You know, God wants us to be excited about who He is. He wants that excitement in our lives. You know, some versions say, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Do you ever do that? Just make a joyful noise? I mean, throughout your day, just be going along, and whether it's just a little shout or a praise or something happens and you just, I don't know what it is. As hillbillies would say, give a holler, you know, I don't know. But I have to brag on Vern because Vern is Veronica, for those of you who don't. That's our L.A. nickname. Most of you know her by that now. But Veronica, you can't be around her very long that you just don't start hearing a joyful noise. It just oozes out of her. Joyful noises, they just come from her. You know, and Tyler and I were down in the lower building yesterday, and I mean, we were working. We were replacing lights and doing some different things, and so was she. But we're in there. Of course, me and Tyler are both kind of the same personality, and we don't say a whole lot. You know, we're kind of quiet, and we're kind of pretty level when it comes to emotion, and we're just down there working, a couple guys, you know, and Veronica's just in the kitchen doing whatever she was doing and just singing. And I'm talking, we were down there for 15 to 20 minutes while all the school was up here at recess, and she didn't stop. And so she was singing this song, and eventually, you know what happened? I started singing too. I started singing this song, and she was walking out of the building, and I was singing along with her, and I looked at her, and I said, thanks, Vern. And she's like, you're welcome. You want me to sing a different one? And she just started singing another one. I mean, a joyful noise. You know, that's God wants us to be excited about life, and He wants us to show that excitement. We need to shout praises to God. You know something? I've read the end of the book, and so have you, and we win, and we have something to be excited about. We have victory through Jesus. And so we should be filled with joy about that. Don't let the junk of this world get to you and kick that joy out of you. God has that for us. So the first word was joy. The second word is gladness. Gladness. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Did you happen to notice that it says serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness? I mean, those are two pretty different words. They sound a lot alike, but it says gladness, not sadness. See, when we're serving the Lord, that's what He wants from us. He wants us to be glad. Some versions say to worship the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. You know, there are times where people come into church, and I'm sure I've been guilty of this myself, but coming into church for worship, almost like you're going to a funeral service. I mean, you come in to worship the Lord, and there's just this sadness on you. I don't know. And this makes me, when I hear sadness, thank you, Hollywood, it makes me think of the movie Inside Out and the character Sadness. If you've ever seen that movie, that's what, when I hear sadness, that's what I think of. And you know, it's pretty sad though. Do you know any Christians who are like sadness? I mean, who just mope around and everything is negative. It's kind of the Eeyore syndrome. If you haven't seen Inside Out, surely you know who Eeyore is. but you know, just kind of that, they just slumped over and everything is just sad. And isn't that a shame? I mean, really, who, talking to somebody like that, I really want to know who Jesus is now, right? No. See, we're called to worship him and serve him with gladness. See, we need to come in here for service like we're coming into a resurrection service, not a funeral. See, we serve a Lord who's risen from the dead, and we need to celebrate that fact. See, there's a celebration, there's a gladness that we should have and that we should walk in. I understand that we all have different levels of excitement. We all operate different. Thinking of this, I think about Angela and Ben, two different levels of excitement. Melanie and Rick, two different levels of excitement. But you know, even with those different levels, we still need to be excited. I mean, even if your level's here, get there. Be excited at that level about the Lord. We need to show him how thankful and how glad we are, and we show that in our worship and in our service. So serve and worship him with gladness. The third word that I pull from this Psalm 100 is dependence. Dependence. It says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." This verse, it shows three roles of God. It shows that God is Lord. See, we're to make him ruler. We're to make him master. We're to put him in a position that he is a boss of our lives. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen bumper stickers, and I'm sorry for stepping on your toes right now if you have this bumper sticker, but it says, "God is my co-pilot." Well, that's not really the way it is. God should be your pilot. Right. He's not your co-pilot. Right, right. So he is to be our boss. He's the one that we look to. See, God is God, and we are not. We're not God. God told Moses in Exodus 3, "I am who I am. I am." The second thing that this verse shows us is that God is creator. He's creator. You know, if you create something, you are greater than what you created. I mean, you're bigger than that thing. You created it. You know how it works. You have control of it. See, you have every right over what you've made. And it says here that it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. See, we didn't make ourselves. And I was doing some study on this, and I ran across so many different things that deal with being thankful and how just the things that we see as basic functions of our body and how we operate. It's amazing. Just your eyeball, and I can't even begin to talk about with any authority what your eyeball does, but it's the thousands or tens of thousands of processes that happen every second with your eyeball and your retinas and the way that you see depth and your peripheral and everything that happens. It's amazing. And the fact that we wake up every day and see, now some of us don't understand what it's like to wake up and see because we have eyes that don't see. But some of you can wake up and see. After I get my eyes in, then I can see. But the miracles that happen, we take for granted. And here's the thing: God is our creator. He made us. We didn't have anything to do with that. And we have a generation. We have a world. We have people who they have this so backward and this humanistic mindset, humanism, and thinking that we are little g gods and that we have, it's so backward. God is creator. He is God. He made us. The third thing is, God is our shepherd. God is our shepherd. See, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, this is the other one the kids learn. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. See, he is our shepherd. You know, it's been said that if we are created, he is the creator. If we are sheep, he is our shepherd. If we enter his courts, he is our king. If we serve him, he is our master. And that just sums up to me so well what it means to be a Christian. I am dependent on God. He created the air that I breathe. He knows every hair on my head, and he knows every beat of my heart. And I thank him for being God. I'm dependent on him. I depend on him daily. Every morning that I wake up, I'm thankful that I drew in a breath, and here I go. I have another day to do something for you, God. And I'm glad that I depend on him for that. So the fourth word, of course, that we get from this passage in Psalm 100 is thankfulness. Thankfulness. You know, you can't give thanks unless you're thankful. You ever thought about that? I mean, you just can't do it. Unless you're thankful, you can't give thanks. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Thanksgiving is what flows out of a thankful heart. And there are too many people who don't have a thankful heart. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how they were serving a generation of our young people, teenagers. They were serving them, and they had bought food for them, and they were serving them. And they were telling me that these kids were so ungrateful. Like, not one of them said thank you. In fact, they were frustrated that they didn't have more food for them. As a whole, we have lost this art of thank you and having a thankful heart. It's one of the first things that we teach our children, and this church teaches, is say thank you. And if my daughter, my son's not old enough yet, but if my daughter receives something from somebody and doesn't say thank you, then I make her say thank you. And if she still won't, then I make her say thank you. So she's going to learn to be thankful. And we have to be a thankful people. Know that it's one of the greatest things that you can do to win friends is to say thank you. When somebody does something, say thank you. It means a lot. In Luke chapter 17, there's an interesting story that deals with having a thankful heart. Jesus, he enters a village, and when he goes in, he finds 10 men who are lepers. There are 10 lepers. And they were standing a long ways off, and they yell out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." They wanted to be healed. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so here's what we have to see. They left, and they hadn't been healed yet. They hadn't received their healing, and we know this because they left before they were cured, because it says that as they went along, they were cleansed. As they went, they were healed. And here's what happened. One of them, only one of them came back to Jesus. He came back, and it says that he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, glorified God, and then thanked Jesus for what he had done. Only one out of the 10 thanked Jesus. And you know what Jesus asked him? He said, "Were there not 10 of you? Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? See, we've got to be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. We have to be thankful. We can't be like these other 9 who received the healing and then just went on and didn't think a thing about it and just, "Oh, cool. That happened," and just left it. See, we've got to be thankful. And that brings us to a fifth word from Psalm 100, gratitude. This time of year, you probably hear a lot of talk about having an attitude of gratitude. In fact, I think even Sunday or Last Wednesday, Ashley may have even mentioned it, an attitude of gratitude. But verse 5 in Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." We have three reasons to be grateful, to walk in gratitude. And those three reasons are, the Lord is good. I mean, come on, do you agree with that? The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. Praise God. And the Lord's truth endures forever. I think about these things, and right there, those are enough to get me through my day every day, having something to be thankful for. And, you know, we went through an apologetics class with our interns this year. We go through it every year. But I had the privilege of teaching part of it this year, and it never ceases to amaze me how the Bible, the truth of God's word, it endures, and it will forever. It's unchanging. It's the same as it was. It's the most credible book ever written, but yet it's still truth, and it endures, and it will endure forever, and I love that. In Romans, Paul even talks about giving praise. And when he writes in 11:36, Romans 11:36, he says, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." See, our praise and our thanksgiving has to be directed toward God. I mean, yes, my mom cooks a mean turkey and some mean stuffing and some awesome mashed potatoes and gravy and all of the stuff. And I will tell her thank you. But ultimately, my thanks goes to God. God, thank you for blessing my mom. Thank you for blessing me through my mom. God, thank you for my grandma, my family. It, all thanksgiving goes to God. And so as we go tomorrow into Thanksgiving, and we spend time with our families, and we have this day set aside where the whole country is giving thanks, know that it's God who deserves our thanks. It's God who deserves all the glory. We need to be thankful for what he's done. And I want us to notice something about Psalm 100. You know, it's only five verses in this chapter, but I want us to see how many times God is mentioned or referred to. And so let's read it again. We don't have to keep a count, but I'm going to put emphasis as we read on when it's referring to him. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." See, it's about him. It's about him. Everything we have to be thankful for is about God. So this Thanksgiving, with all the preparations, with all of the events and all the excitement, my prayer is that God is thanked. God is thanked. And he's thanked with joy and gladness, with thankfulness, with gratitude, and with a heart that is dependent on him. Is that good tonight? A short word, but really I wanted us to get these five things out of Psalm 100 and how to give him thanks.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.